everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Say Word with Kev. I'm your host, Kevin. I'm here today with not only the founders of a company called Behold Canada, but a couple of fun, unique, smart, and handsome guys. Just ask them, they'll tell you. And what's up, gentlemen? Thanks for being here with me today. How are you guys?
What an introduction. Yeah, I love it. The handsome. I respect it. But we're doing pretty good, bro. What about you? What are you saying?
Everything's going well. So guys, I want to start off with talking about Behold Canada. So Behold Canada is this company that you guys started. So why don't you guys go ahead and tell me about, like, what does it do and what was the inspiration behind it?
Marshall, you want to go first? Or you want me to just jump in?
Yeah, sure. Well, so yeah, it's a not-for-profit founded here in Canada. And Yassine and I, we wanted to start something for a while, but we really couldn't figure out exactly what we wanted to do. And we both ended up talking, and it turned out we were passionate about travel within Canada. And then we also realized that most of our friends, and us included, but I have traveled a fair bit in Canada, but a lot of people our age, we really don't travel our home that much at all. So we identified that as a potential problem. And then kind of from that, Behold Canada was formed. So I don't know if Yassine, do you want to talk about exactly what we're doing here?
Yeah. So I guess the nonprofit, I mean, the overall vision is just basically trying to kind of spread that passion and that love to really explore Canada, like our own country, and just to really experience everything it really has to offer. But not only that, but kind of spread it on to like other people to get it like, I don't know, to make it into a movement, because it is, I don't know, it's sad to see that a lot of us, I mean, there's a lot of different reasons as to why there's a travel deficit in terms of us going more abroad than domestic, but it's sad because we actually have quite a bit of beautiful scenery, like a lot of different subsets in Canada, but just because of high costs and just a lot of other issues, we just choose to kind of get something completely different rather than what we have in our backyard.
Yeah, go ahead. I guess when someone thinks about vacation or when someone thinks about traveling, the first thing in their mind isn't Canada. It's normally like Mexico, or it's normally like somewhere exotic like Asia. And so yeah, that's actually a pretty good problem you guys identified. But like, the problem has been around for a long time, in the sense that, you know, millennials and other people are, you know, not necessarily enjoying, you know, the beauties and the hidden gems at home. So I guess, is it like COVID that sort of restricted the travel that you guys sort of thought about this, that prompted you guys to think about this? Or was it something that you guys have been like pondering for a while and just acted on it recently?
I think that was probably a catalyst for it, for sure. But I think even we're looking past COVID, because we want this to be a movement for the long term. Like exactly what you're saying, when a group of guys, let's say, want to go on a trip, they're probably going to go to Mexico or Cuba, somewhere where warm, but we're kind of thinking, you know what, somewhere like Jasper. I went there last year. It's an absolutely amazing place. If you want to go for a party, it's a great place there too. So I think in the long term, we're just thinking, hopefully we can create an environment and a culture where people are going to be more willing to travel to places like that.
Right, like the fact that I don't even know, like before I even went to Bruce Peninsula, I didn't even know that Canada, or Ontario rather, had like access to like clear blue waters, right? When you look at the pictures,
really? You think
they're somewhere completely different. So
yeah,
that was fun. But it's funny because I remember, Marshall, do you remember way back, like we've always wanted to do stuff together, just some sort of silence going back in school. Oh, I was like, wait, what?
Pause, bro. Pause.
You get it, man. You get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, yeah.
We had that entrepreneurship mentality, and we had we had one other failed. I mean,
nice justifying the sentence.
No, but because the reason why I bring it up is because we actually had this whole debate. I think this is like why it relates to Behold Canada, is like the lack of Canadian identity.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of trickled down where we talked about the fact that we don't even, people don't even travel their own country. And just like, what is being Canadian, right? A lot of times people just kind of associate it with just what's not American as being Canadian. But we kind of just wanted to dive into the culture, and we realized because Canada is so different all over, it really is kind of hard to get something concrete.
Yeah, I think when someone thinks about Canadian, they think about, you know, the Ottawa accent, and they think about like, you know, being nice and saying sorry after every sentence. And that's basically all I hear about Canadian people. And what people don't realize is that it's so diverse, especially here in Toronto. And so there's a lot of different identities, a lot of different Canadian identities, so to speak. And, you know, it's always good to shed some light on what being Canadian is and, you know, the different places of Canada. I gotta be honest though, like I haven't actually been around Canada much. And like, I'm very ashamed to say this because I've been here for all my life, but I rarely travel Canada. I've been around Ontario and that's about it. Maybe Quebec. Yeah, Quebec. But, you know, I haven't been to Vancouver. I haven't been to, you know, other places. So, I mean, what are your favorite places to go to? I mean, you guys seem to be avid travelers within Canada. So, like,
See, it's funny because the reason, a big part of why I'm doing this is I'm actually in the same position as you were.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I've only been to camp spots in Ontario and stuff like that, but it's crazy how much we fit to the stat. It's like, I think there's, I forget the exact percentage, but it's a large majority of Canadians, if they've ever traveled out of province. And that's if it's only like one province over. Yeah. And like, yeah, like the furthest I've went was Montreal, right? So like, other than that, it's kind of sad that I haven't really explored. I would if it was cheaper.
That's the biggest problem, right? Yeah. Because I think everyone wants to, right? But especially our parents too, they probably wanted to take us around, but it just, the like even plane tickets. I went to BC, I think I was in grade 10. Yeah. And I think at that point there and back, I think it was $3,000. So like,
see, no, like, oh,
they've nothing did it, but it's just crazy. Like now it's a lot cheaper. Shout out to Swoop, an awesome company.
I think we're like, not sponsored by Swoop, by the way.
Yeah, Swoop sponsored by Swoop. I flew on Swoop to Alberta a year and a half ago, and I think it was $70 there and back.
No so way.
And it's amazing. And I think Halifax, they before COVID, they had flights from Hamilton to Halifax, I think it was $40 both ways.
Dude, that's even if they survive though COVID, which kind of sucks. Because I think that is one of the biggest factors. Just because, you know, think about it. Like, why would you, if you're going to be spending, well, like $2,000-$3,000, okay, even let's say it's $1,000, man, for like a two-way ticket. When I went to Japan, that was like, I got it on a deal for like $800, right? So it's like, again, I see where the dilemma comes from. It's like, am I going to go to the Rockies in like the prairies, or am I just going to go to a whole like new country across the globe?
I feel like it's that exotic vibe to it, right? Like when you're out into another like country or another continent, like it's you got this exotic vibe to it, and plus it looks good on the gram too. So it's like you hit two birds with one stone going elsewhere. But exactly. People don't even realize like
that's part of the one problem that we want to change too, is that people in Canada, or they seem to have a picture of Canada in their head, that everywhere in Canada is the exact same, right? And in the U.S., for example, you think of Texas, California, Florida, like all New York, let's say, right? There's so many different places, but and you think of them like that. But in Canada, most people see it as the exact same place, and that's like really not true. So with our website, one of our goals is to try to showcase all these different places and kind of to show people, you know what, you don't have to travel to a different country to see something you've never seen.
Yeah, that's 100% true. And I totally agree with you. You know, like for me, I had that mindset before where I was definitely thinking that Canada was, you know, a little bit subpar compared to other places. And that's just sort of the mentality that a lot of us have. And I'm sure you guys thought about that at one point in your life, right?
Oh, absolutely. But,
you know, it's great that you guys are trying to solve a problem, a mental problem where, you know, like people have this innate thinking of Canada being, you know, just sort of the same throughout. So with Behold Canada, obviously I've talking to a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of, you know, people who have ambitions to start, you know, something on the side and eventually be the main thing. And so I wanted to ask you guys, how has this affected your daily life in terms of, are you guys staying up late to sort of develop or create content? Have you guys taken back hours at your primary jobs to put into this startup? Or, you know, sort of how has your daily life changed since the beginning of Behold Canada?
That's a good question. Other than obviously just, you get a lot more busier, but because it's kind of something you're creating directly and it being built from scratch, I kind of realized, even if you're not really directly thinking about the nonprofit, you're always kind of in the back of your head at some point, always just either just thinking about it or I don't want to say stress about it, but it's kind of always nagging that there's always something else you have to do on your off time. But it's just constant work, dude. Like at this point now, you kind of do treasure any extra free time, because your free time basically gets put into the nonprofit. And plus, like I'm doing like a part-time certification as well. Yeah. So really, you have to just choose whether you want to like watch a little bit more Netflix or just put in some work in terms of like, I don't know, strategic planning for the nonprofit or talking to a couple of the writers, keeping tabs with them, seeing what they're posting, stuff like that.
Yeah. It's weird because like if I have a day off and I have the whole day to use to be productive, seldom do I use that day to actually do productive shit, you know? Like I'm usually just like wasting the time. But when I have a lot of stuff to do and I want to squeeze in, you know, my side hustles, like more oftentimes than not, I end up doing that and being way more productive. So I guess it's a sense of being busy and, you know, being having a schedule that's jam-packed that really keeps you on my toes. That's just me personally, but
yeah, I totally agree, man. Like before I started working, when I was working for looking for a job, I felt like I wasn't getting much done at all, but I had a lot more free time. And now I'm super busy, but I feel like I'm more willing to take on something even new now than I would be maybe a few months ago when I wasn't working, just because when you get in that mindset of the constant grinding, right, you're not willing to just sit down on, let's say, TikTok or Facebook for an hour and just scroll, because you know you have other stuff to actually do. And when it's getting that kind of like that grind my mindset and really try to work hard, man, it's kind of easy to start to bounce things out.
Yeah, it also makes sleep a lot more enjoyable. Fuck.
I bro, just go to sleep and just pass out. It's because you actually earn the sleep, bro. It's just like doing any, like you can actually, if you do relax right before, it's like you earn the relaxation. So you know what I mean? So it's just that much sweeter.
Bro, if I take a full day off of doing jack and I go to sleep, I wake up with a headache. That's like, what the heck? Waking up with a massive migraine, like... I don't even know how to explain it. It's weird how the mind works, man. Like,
yeah, something I find is I gotta wake up now at the same time every single day. And that's like whenever I'm talking to people as well, like I always tell them, like if you can set like a single time to wake up every single day, I think for your mental health, it's huge.
Even on the weekends and stuff.
Oh my god! Look at I hate, bro. Not everyone has that privilege, all right? This man's telling me it's like a set schedule. As I have like a rotational shift.
No, I do, man.
It seems like working the honest hours. I swear. Every single day. Is that an internal clock, Marshall? Like, are you?
No.
Like sometimes is it?
No, like sometimes it's hard, man, and it sucks, but. I find I probably get the most stuff done even in my head, or like I feel like I'm planning things out the best probably in the first hour and a half I'm actually up. So some people might be a little bit different, but I think that routine, I think there's some science behind it as well, but I really think for your mental health in general, if like if you're ever feeling off or you just a little bit weird, just try to get some good sleep and wake up at the same time every single day, and I think that's huge.
No, yeah, it's absolutely scientific, but like
you're sounding sarcastic there, bro.
Nah, I mean, it's like, it's true, but it's like,
man, what are your sources?
Yeah, we all just brush it off, right?
Yeah, but like, no, I totally agree.
We brush off, it seems like such a simple thing, right? But like, honestly, I think it's absolutely huge, because we live in such a world right now, this year, for example, like, everything is so like different. COVID is changing every single part of our entire lives. So I think if you can get something consistent, like waking up at the exact same time, I think that is really important for a lot of people.
Yeah, I totally, yeah, that point, I totally agree. Having a set schedule is definitely way more beneficial for your mental health and physical health than actually just going rogue and just, you know, staying up all night, or just figuring it out. I'll go to sleep when I feel tired. It's like 5 a.m. Yeah, so
it's fun, but it doesn't help you out.
Yeah, so I guess my next question is sort of, so Behold Canada, it's new, you guys have just started it, and it's coming together quite nicely. So I know the motto of Behold Canada, and I know the mission that you guys are trying to achieve. But in terms of the future plans for Behold Canada, like where do you see this company in, say, 5 years? Like how big do you want it to get? How many users? Like what's the whole plan? Or are you guys just sort of going, taking it as it goes, one step at a time?
I think that is definitely a complex question, and we've talked about it a lot, but I think we still really got to figure out exactly what it is. But I think one thing is we wouldn't want to lose the quality and kind of sight of our actual vision, right? And I think a lot of it as well is going to be, we want to build a community of people that are like-minded. So we don't necessarily want to grow a following of, let's say, 1 million people that don't really care. I think we might rather have maybe 100,000 people that care quite a bit.
Quality over quantity, I guess, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's probably where we're aimed at now. But right now it is still early in our stages of exactly where we're trying to go, I think. So Yassine might be able to expand a little bit, but I think we're still moving those parts together and kind of seeing exactly what's going to fit best.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, just at least for me in 5 years, like, because a big part of what we have to do, and we mentioned it before, like a big, one of the large issues that stops Canadians is the high cost of domestic travel. And obviously at some point, and this can only happen when you get bigger. So hopefully in 5 years, we have enough influence where we can actually start lobbying, and advocating to like any level of government, whether it be, I mean, I guess it'd have to start at least provincial, but just being able to really make an impact at that scale would be huge. That would be the goal. It's just getting to that point, right? If you're not going to get like a lot of donations or a lot of like financial backing, it can be very hard to persuade or even get like a meeting with government officials. So we have to be creative, and we have to somehow get traction just through like organic flow of people coming, I don't know, from the Instagram to the website. And hopefully by then we have a strong enough movement where we can get traction from there to get their attention rather than just like money or something.
Yeah, also, I don't know, too, I think at the website level, we definitely want to become a place where people in Canada can go to, and they know that they're going to get or be able to find a huge list of places to go in Canada. And the content on the website is not going to be trying to sell you something or anything like that. It's true. It's honest. It's people that are really trying to give you the best information you can actually get. Because like right now, if you go on Google and if you try to Google something like Canada travel spots or something like that, what you're going to get is a bunch of links that are run by websites that are pretty much just trying to get you to click on it because they're selling ads. So
yeah,
you don't really care about the actual content or you even traveling Canada whatsoever, right? They just want you to click, and they want 1,000 people to click, or how many people click, right? And then they get paid. So we, I think in 5 years, we want to be at the top of those search results. So then when you know that you're actually going to get something like trustworthy and like they're actually, you know, we're being honest with what we're trying to give you.
I feel like you guys should definitely, you know, down the road, hire some influencers to like, to like write content or like just advertise for you guys. That would have been like so sick.
That would, but you, man, influencers are, man, you know they are, bro. Fuck, man. What am I gonna pay them like 2-3K for a quick post? And it's not even like, it's like C tier influencer. It's not, bro, it's not even A list, let alone celebrity status, right?
But I think that's like a community part that goes in though, because I think there probably are a lot of people that love traveling Canada just as much as we do, right? So if we can get them on board with the actual vision and they buy into that, hopefully then that will be kind of enough to get them to post and share.
Yeah. Honestly, the dream would be just to have like a small loan of $1 million.
I feel like, just a side note, like speaking of traveling, just like I'm actually just taking in like the diversity of this call right now, or like this podcast. So like if we were to go anywhere in Canada, like we're good, you know? So if we go into like Halifax and we go into a McDonald's, like Marshall got us for sure. Like Marshall got us. If we go anywhere, like anywhere else, you know, you see it in me. We got you, Marshall. Yeah,
anywhere with like shade of skin color.
Vancouver.
Yo, Marshall got that Halifax plug for sure. That Northwest Territories vibe, bro.
It's actually crazy though, because it's funny because I know a lot of people shit on Toronto that are all over Canada that we're so stuck in our bubble. Where, and I think Marshall, we've talked about this, how everyone has,
it's kind of,
it is, because we think everyone's as diverse as us, but really, like, unless you go to major cities, Canada isn't as that, it's definitely diverse and we're very inclusive. But once you kind of start going away from the cities, it starts to dwindle down. So it's not all the same subcultures. And I think that's a big kind of
thing. You don't even have to travel far, to be honest. All you have to do is go to, I don't know, like Belleville or Port Coburn or something like that.
Peterborough. Yeah.
Like even, yeah, like you don't even have travel. You don't even have to travel that far, and you can already see the level of diversity slowly diminishing. Yeah. And it's, you know, there's a comment every time we make, every time we go to a cottage, or every time we go to a city outside. It's like, damn, man, there's a lot of there's a lot of these type of people around, depending on where you go.
Right? I think that is changing fast. So, like, I'd love to see stats on it, but I really think there's more of like an urban sprawl happening. And I think those, like, those places, I think they're starting to actually change, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine if you're immigrating to the country, you're gonna aim for the city because that's where the most the job prospects are, right? So yeah, it's just the more we expand, especially in the Toronto and GTA, you're seeing us go out further and further. As long as the infrastructure follows and, like, the, I don't know, extend GO train and shit, just making it possible to come in the city, I think it'll just keep growing.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, there's always a trade-off. I know this is off topic, but yes, you can get paid more there, but you're also, your cost of living is absurd. So
we're in the city?
Yeah.
Bro, that's why I want to leave. We were talking about this before, and this is why Canada loses so much human capital. So if you want like a high paying job, for the most part, there's always exceptions, I get it, but the prime location is usually going to be Toronto. Toronto, maybe Vancouver, Montreal, depending on what you're trying to do. If you're gaming, you go Montreal. But like, Toronto is one of the major cities where that's like the New York of Canada in terms of, you want to make it there in the city life, that's the goal. But if you're born here, you're already at the peak of where you need to be. But the shitty part is, like, to work your way up to even be able to afford your own house in Toronto is like not feasible.
People crave that city life, you know, just getting that morning coffee, rushing through traffic, getting to your job. Like that life is for a lot of people, you know. A lot of people can't think about living somewhere where it's a little bit less populated, you know, more rural setting, whatever, right? So
yeah, to each their own, man. But like that traffic stuff, like I hated that. Like the busy at the, like, the very start. Like now when I drive to work, it's like the first 15 minutes, it's like cornfields, man. I'm not even kidding. And the last bit, like 15,
is classic,
the bumper traffic, right? So like I got a mix of both worlds there, and that for me is key.
Yeah.
If I had to do like this, or man, the TTC, I am not built for the TTC.
So where are you living now?
I live in a small town called Thamesford. No one stalked me. You'll be able to find me. It's not going to be very hard.
There's like 20 people in this area.
You just get into town. Can I see a Marshall Dunn, please? The microphone. Oh, he's right over down the street. Number 12.
Yeah, so like I'm like a 20-minute drive outside of London, and my work is downtown there. So, and I think it takes me in total probably 25 minutes or so to drive from work. But I don't know, I definitely love it.
So, which one, like, if it ever came down to it, which would you prefer, sort of the life in Toronto or the life where you're at now?
I think where I'm at now, man. Like, I really, like, sure, I miss a lot of stuff, and like from living back there, I think a lot of it, because university, man, it's so fun. Nightlife stuff, like, you really can't find that
for anywhere. Sure. But, yeah.
I think if I gotta think long term, there's a sense of peace here, right, and calmness, and that for me, I think, is pretty huge.
What do you do? Because you were there when you were in high school. Like, how do you have fun in a place that's like surrounded by cornfields? No, like dead ass. What do you do other than also, like, campfires and just driving around?
Yeah, no, like what you're saying, it's like, it's all true. No, like that's
talk to activities.
Yeah, but I
don't say this. Don't say this, Marshall. That's not true. Tell me you guys aren't putting campfires up and, you know, singing campfire songs.
Bonfires and shit, bro. Like, I don't know. It's like that was like the stereotype of paintballs.
You had bonfires for sure. Yeah. But I don't know, like biking, I don't know, like hiking,
yeah,
swimming, like there's like rivers and stuff around us, canoeing, things like that.
You must know most of the people, a lot of partying too. Yeah,
yeah, like I know I would love to see a stat on this as well, but I think people around here definitely start drinking at a younger age.
I can see that
young,
and I don't know, maybe that's a bad sign, but
I don't know what that means.
It's just, of your environment.
Like, I would, even if I think of, like, kids, if I have kids one day, I'd rather them outside all day with their friends, like, swimming and, like, hanging out in a forest than going to a fucking mall for 10 hours and sitting around.
Bro, who
I don't know what you guys did,
to a mall for 10 hours and lived in the city?
What are you guys doing? I don't know.
I was just about to call
it. With the Weekenders, bro. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's why I was thinking that.
Bro, I wanted to live that life, bro. You did the same shit, except you TTC.
Bro, going to the mall and chilling for like 4 hours, that was the shit back in the day, bro. You'd watch a movie, go out and just chill.
Literally, we just walk around. It's like when you're young, either you're just playing ball or me and my friends would do, just walk around the neighborhood. Just walk and talk.
For
like
who chills at a ball for 10 hours?
The opposite sides. I always are. Them city folk and their malls.
So one question then. So the friends that you guys had in public school, let's say, were they the same friends that you had in high school?
In terms of what, like actual physically the same or
like I'm just wondering, because like for me, since I started school when I was like 3, I had the same friends all the way up till grade 12, right? So like we spent our whole lives hanging out as we grew and stuff. So I'm wondering if that's the same thing for you guys.
No, my true friend connections started from grade 9, so high school. Friends from public school, yeah, I still keep in contact with in middle school as well, but they're not, I wouldn't classify them as like good friends, you know, more like just people I know.
Yeah, because I think like where I am, like where I grew up, I think it's more common that people stick with their friends.
Yeah.
No, I think I stayed with a lot of, so it depends, right? I switched high schools, but I still kept in contact with my, I guess it's elementary, but it's a grade 7-8 friends, right? So nothing lower than that. I still kept in contact to this day, like one of my day ones, but I switched high school. So if I were to stay, it would have been the same thing, but pretty much the same friend groups since elementary, and then just new additions added on that came from other public schools or elementary schools when they went to high school.
Huh. Yeah. I guess, city, baby. I feel like there's not that many like public schools where you live, Marshall. So maybe the chances of you like, you know, sticking with, like, again, like, same, like, not many public schools, not many middle schools, not many high schools, so chances are you guys are progressing and then going to the same places.
Yeah, like, we went to the same schools, and then we all played on the same sports teams as well, and, like, it was that, like, yeah, there's a lot less people, right, so you do, but I don't know, I kind of like that aspect of it, because I think you get kind of more kind of complex and longer friendships.
Yeah, I agree.
But you get stuck in your shell, though. Like, I don't know. It's good and bad.
Yeah, totally.
Like, I like the mix, right? Like, if you can still keep, like, is it just the same elementary school? Or wasn't there, like, other smaller schools that also went to your high school to add to your friend group?
Yeah, like, there's probably, like, 5 schools that fed into my high school, right? So, at that point, it was a big new thing, right? Yeah, there's a lot more people, but...
Oh, yeah. So you still didn't add new friends to your group?
Oh, no, like, I think I did, but I think I still have a lot of friends that I grew from kindergarten, let's say.
Yeah.
No, it definitely grew, but there's still those core friends that I have.
It's actually crazy, kindergarten. I think the oldest friend I know, and I haven't talked to him in quite a few years, but I met him in grade 1. I think that's the only one from that, like, era where I could still figure out how to contact, but everyone else, like I know it's funny, I tried to search up like grade 1-2 friends, see if I can somehow find them on like Facebook or whatever, and it's impossible. My school even shut down. It was so sad. It was actually crazy. Like, I was like, is this back in Ottawa? So I was just trying to see where I used to live on Google Maps and everything, and then I found out that my school was shutting down. Or it did shut down, sorry. And there was like a Facebook memorial for it or something.
Oh, and
they're sharing photos of the generations.
My high school burned, bro. Like, it burned down.
The fuck?
Yeah.
How? Like, accident? Or did someone, like, lay it out?
I don't even know, man. Like, it just burned to the ground, like, last year. And I was like, shit. Like, that is... Like, I hated my high school, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's... But like something in you, like it hits a spot. Cause like, obviously I spent 4 years there, right? And made some really good connections. But overall, man, the school was just like we didn't even have a football team because everyone was such a pussy and didn't want to play football. And we didn't have a rugby team either for the exact same reason. So I was just fed up, you know, like, come on, man, where are all the men in this school? And then it burned down. And for a second, I was really happy. And then it actually hit me that it burned down. So I was like, fuck, like, shit, man, it actually did burn down. Yeah, so that sucks. It's getting repaired now, but it was a bad, like, it was bad, man. Like, the integrity of the building.
Do you ever visit? Because me and my...
What?
No, you cut out there.
Oh, there was a huge delay. And I was just saying, do you ever visit...
Visit what?
Sorry, is it better now? My internet's getting shitty.
Yeah, I think it's good.
No. Yeah, you're good.
That was a big lead up.
What did they even say? I said it like three times.
I was in suspense, man.
Like, wait, what did I say? What did I end off at?
Do you ever visit? And then we paused for like 5 seconds. I was sweating buckets. I'm like, what are you trying to say?
No, I was saying, did you, I mean, you can't do it now, Kevin, but did you ever visit your old high school with your friends and shit? Like,
fuck no, man. I don't even visit.
Really?
Yeah, I did, dude. The hallways seem so
small. Oh, not inside. That's weird, bro. You're a grown-ass man. You can't be entering high school.
No, man. Can't be entering your high school in your 20s. Like, yo, what up? Like,
nah, this is just us in, like, the track field because it's kind of outside and everything. So we're just walking around just like...
Nah. I mean, I drive by it a lot, but, like, I never go.
Fuck you.
Like I said, I hated the school. No, hate's a strong word. Hate is a very strong word. I liked the school, but there were some things that I disliked, as with everything in life. But,
you know. But what? Okay, what? I feel like you have this huge vendetta. Is it like the people in the school or the administration? Like,
dude, I fully just told you the reasons why I didn't like the school. Like,
no, that cut off for me. I didn't hear it.
No, I just said I fully told you the reasons why I don't like the school. Like, it has nothing to do with, like, any deep-seated or deep-rooted problem. I know what you're trying to do, sir. I know what you're trying to do.
I don't know, man. Were you stereotypically pushed in the locker or something? Like,
a couple times, but that's not the reason why.
Bro, it's funny. Did you ever see real bullying, like, traditional bullying in your high schools?
Nah, man. Nah, I've never seen that before. shit, man. I guess that's more of a...
Right, there's always cyberbullying that I witnessed.
West of London. That's more of a West of London thing. I
see. See, I don't think I saw bullying that much either because I don't know. Like, I think bullying was almost like uncool.
Yeah,
traditional bullying. There's definitely people getting chirped and shit. It's just aggressive chirping.
Social media like bullying stuff too, dude. That's probably worse even.
See, it's funny. Okay, grade 7 and 8, there was a lot of bullying in my school. And I brought this up before. Bro, it was...
I wasn't even counting that. That, I think, there's a lot of bullying.
That was fucky, bro. My school, that was... It was like...
Go to the fly shit.
Literally, bro. It was like Survivor. The toxicness of just... Okay, Kevin, so basically, in my friend group, this was really fucked up. But if we didn't like someone... We would have a democratic vote in front of that person. We would all air out what we don't like about them, and then we would vote if we wanted you to stay in the group or not.
A fucking referendum.
No. So literally, think about it. You're in grade 7. Your social skills are lacking, and you just have a group of people all looking at you, raising a hand to kick you out. Like, what do you do after that happens, bro? You just feel awkward as fuck.
I feel like to get to that point, it's progressive. Like, you start off by saying, you know, he's cool. I don't think I want him at this party, man. He's just a little... And then you start leaving him out of plans, and he starts getting suspicious. And then at this one point, man, you're just like, fuck it, man. We gotta vote. Like, fuck.
We gotta vote.
Either he needs to go... Either he goes or we go. Fuck, man. Some Brexit shit is happening right now.
Bro, that's exactly how it was for a grade 8 trip, man. No one wanted to go home first because everyone was afraid the second you left the group, other people would conspire and change, like, the rooms for, like, the Ottawa trip and shit. So it's, like, literally just, like, politics. You're trying to, like, make sure your group is good and your people are loyal to you and shit. And you leave for the day and you come back tomorrow and you find out you're kicked out of the room and all that. It was fucked up, bro. That shit stressed me the fuck out.
Yeah, brother. Yeah.
So obviously that's probably a little far, but it brings up the question. You guys, it brings up the question though. Do you think some level of bullying is almost good?
What?
Like, and like,
how do you frame that?
No, see, hear me out.
All right, let's hear the guy out. I'm sure he has a reason.
What I'm saying is, like, I think in the social interaction that we've all had and, like, experience with bullying or getting chirped and all that, I think it really, it builds you as a person. And it kind of, like, you gain, a social sense, right? And I think if we completely stop all of that schoolyard shit that's been going on for years, what's gonna happen when someone goes into the workplace and they start to get bullied, because they're still that now, right? So I think there's some aspect of it where it's rite of passage almost.
Jokes aside, I think it's I agree to some extent. I don't agree that, I think you're using the wrong word. Like, there's a difference of confrontation as a kid where you learn how to deal with issues or you having difficulty with a person versus kind of bullying. Because I feel like bullying is
not bullying. I'll put that out there.
Yeah, like, no, but it's like bullying comes, it's like at that next level of confrontation where I don't know. I don't know what the bullying
repetitive is. Stuff.
So I think that I think that some adversity or some type of social adversity to toughen your skin is good, right? But obviously, like, everything in moderation, right? Like,
yeah, because I guess
with any trauma, I think it's just as beneficial as any trauma that you're able to overcome.
Yes, I think that's the key there, because I should rephrase. I think some bullying gets very, very bad, and there's been some super sad stories about that. And so I wouldn't condone that at all. So I think that's the key you brought up.
You probably would bully your own
overcome
kids. I was about to say, Marshall's a fucking to bully his own kids.
Marshall would bully his own kids, so then they get used to the chirp. So when they go to school, they're like, yeah, I've heard it before.
What's good, pussy? What are you doing today, dad?
Oh, you have a big head, eh? You have a big head, bro.
Friction creates fire, man. Whoa. You gotta do it.
Shit, eh? That's
deep. That's kids.
That's deep. Friction creates fire. You heard that, Yassine?
Oh, wow. This guy has a fucking quote and everything. Jeez,
that's the next.
Behold Canada. Friction.
Behold Canada. Friction makes fire. Tag that shit now.
It's a nice singer. You gotta, I respect that.
All right, boys. Well, we're just about out of time. So all jokes aside, thank you so much for joining the show, and appreciate your time here today talking to me, and wishing you guys all the best with Behold Canada and with your lives, man. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks, Tom, man.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for having us.